welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, bringing you an hour of drama. Later on, it's the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars from 1949, but first, Arch Obler's plays. In 1939, Obler was given the chance to depart from his horror work on the Lights Out series to produce drama for NBC, of which many of the insiders there complained that his stories had too much to do with Europe. At that time, Hitler was rising to power overseas, and the U.S. took an isolationist stance. So while powerful plays were produced on that first run of the show, like Dalton Trumbo's Johnny Got His Gun, about a returning war veteran without arms, legs, and was blind and deaf, Arch Obler's plays about human conflict and the overseas cost didn't resonate as much with American radio listeners as they did with the second run of Arch Obler's plays, which began for a 26-show run on April 5th, 1945, a broadcast which we'll hear now, called Strange Morning, broadcast on Mutual.
Mutual presents Arch Obler's plays. The Mutual Broadcasting System has the pleasure of presenting the first broadcast of a special 26-week series of plays by radio playwright Arch Obler. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of excitement of good stories and the meaningfulness of plays told in relation to the expanding world in which we live. The opening play will be introduced by Arch Obler.
Ladies and gentlemen, we begin on a note of prophecy. This is a play about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't happened, neither has this story, but they will happen. This is a story of VE Day victory in Europe, a play about a strange tomorrow. I ask you to imagine the morning of VE Day.
This is a story of victory. It was born in the air battle of Britain. It grew through Stalingrad, Tunisia, Cassino, the beachheads of Normandy, up the Rhone Valley, across France, through the Siegfried Line. This is a story of victory.
I wonder how soon my division will head for home, huh?
I'd like a crack at the jet. What are you going to do, put a 75 in your wheelchair? Funny man, I'm going to be out of here in a week.
Who told you? Hey, listen, you guys. They say that Stalin flew to Berlin.
Hey, no, scuttlebutt, brother. Scuttlebutt, as they say in the good old night.
Hey, here comes Miss Stewart.
Come on, boys, the rest of the hospital.
Yeah, how about a B-Day date, Scotty?
The heck with a date. Let's get married.
All right, all right.
Hey, here comes the doctor.
For he's a jolly fellow, for he's a jolly fellow, for he's a jolly fellow.
You're not going to think I'm such a jolly good fellow when I tell you you've got to quiet down. After all, this is a hospital and all this...
Hey,
excitement.
Doc, how soon can I get out of here? My squad will be moving to the Pacific.
How about me, Doc?
Men.
Huh?
Please, men. Now, supposing you have one more song and then all of you go back to your own wards.
Oh, but, Doc, Germany out of the war and you expect us to go back...
Okay, fellas, he's the doctor. One more song, he says. How about... Happy days are here again.
Isn't it exciting, Doctor? I'd hate to take their temperatures now. They waited a long time for this day. They Doctor, did I say something wrong?
No, I was just thinking that no one has told them.
Them?
I don't know how. Go into their rooms and announce that it's over. I don't know how.
Should I?
These men, they know that soon they'll be with their own outfits or going home. Those others...
Doctor, I said that I'd tell them.
You?
Yes, please.
All right. All right. Thank you, Miss Stewart.
It's Miss Stewart, Freddie. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
May I sit and talk to you?
I'd like that.
Thank you. Sleep well last night?
Yes. I was hoping you'd come in.
I'm sorry I couldn't come in sooner. There's been all sorts of excitement.
Excitement?
Well, you see, Freddie, it's finally happened. Germany is out of the war. Freddie, did you hear me?
Yes.
Thought you'd like to know.
Yes. Thank you.
Is there anything about it I can tell you?
No. I guess not. Did it rain last night?
Yes. Yes, it did.
I thought I heard rain. I guess they're under the water.
What?
The 40 acres down by the creek. My father tried to drain that land ever since I was a pup. But it's full of cattails and frogs. One bullfrog must have been a foot across. I called him Sitting Bull. We could hear him all the way up to the house. Mother said he was better than the church organ. You know something? We drained a swamp at Saipan. In 3 days, the forts were landing there. 3 days. My dad's been trying for 20 years. Soil was good on Saipan. Planted a seed, and overnight, it was up. We had almost 5 acres, even tomatoes and corn. I was in charge. So funny.
What, Freddie?
Lying here, all I think about are things like that. Green things and black dirt. That's very funny. Back home, I never paid much attention to it. I did my chores, that's all. But now I only seem to want to remember what was growing. I don't know why I think about it. I just do. Maybe it's because now that it's so dark all the time, I've got to think about things growing in the sun. Maybe it's because that was the most wonderful thing I ever saw. That the earth was good, even on an island in the middle of the ocean. Did you say it was Victory?
Yes.
If I get home, I can help my father. I can show him how to drain the land. I know how to do it now. 40 acres. There'll be so many more to feed now.
Sam?
Yes, ma'am?
I've something to tell you.
I know.
You do?
Yes, ma'am.
But how?
Through the window, I could hear them singing. It could only mean one thing. Or am I wrong again?
No, no. The word just came.
That's great.
Yes.
The doctor told me not to turn my head. Are you sitting down?
You want me to?
If you have the time.
Of course.
Because it's today, will you tell me something?
Whatever you want to know.
How long will I be here?
I don't know.
Honestly?
Yes, Sam, honestly.
I didn't ask for the reason the others do. I asked because I want to know how much longer I can stay here.
Stay here?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to go home?
No, ma'am.
But why, Sam? By the time you're released, you'll be all right. New healthy tissue, hardly a scar.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me, Sam.
What good would that be?
Do me some good, perhaps. Of all the boys on this floor, I've known you the least. Did your family?
No. I'd like to be with them.
Sam, because it's today, please tell me.
When I was born, I had all the world. Yeah. A little black baby owning the world. I lost it fast. Get out of the way, nigger. No black boys wanted. You know the story. Soon I wasn't even in the world. Then the army. So maybe a crazy hour. I thought I was part of things again, but... Well, do I have to tell you? And that Nazi floating around up there saw me in my oil truck riding the Red Ball Express. Went into a dive, got me in his sights, and pressed the trigger, and then there was nothing. But all at once, there was. I was in a bed, and others all around me. And nobody said, "Get out, black boy, one side nigger." Somebody said, "Nice going, fella." The guy next to me stuck a cigarette in my lips and somebody else lit it. I was back in the world again. I've been there ever since. On the hospital ship and the train and here. They talked to me. "Sam, what's your opinion of this? Sam, how about that? Sam, talk to us. Sam, tell us. Me, Sam. So hooray for the day, but I want to stay here. I want to stay here."
Tom. Tom, may I talk to you?
What? Oh.
Miss Stewart.
Dorothy?
No, it's Miss Stewart, Tom.
Where have you been?
Well, I... Tom, I have some wonderful news for you.
I'll tell you something. I was going to be angry with you, but I'm not at all.
Angry?
Dorothy, don't ever keep me waiting again, please.
Oh.
Did you get all the stuff?
Yes.
It's going to be a wonderful day. I've looked forward to it.
Have you?
Now, stop worrying about Marianne. She'll be all right.
Of course.
After all, my mother knows how to take care of babies. Look at me. No. Let's look at the timetable. There it is. 11:10. About 3 or 4 minutes, and we're off. Dot, why don't you say something?
I'm glad we're going.
No. You didn't say that. You didn't say that. You said something else. Dot, say what you said then. Say it.
I don't remember.
I see you. I know you're here. But your voice is so far away.
I'm here.
Is the train coming?
Not yet.
Oh, Dot, I love you so much. All right, let them put a bronze tablet here. On this spot on June 6, 1940, a man made love to his wife, end quote. Why do I have to make a joke about it? Is there something wrong with my loving you more than 2 years ago? Stand close to me, Dot. No, there's no one around.
Darling, every day is better for us, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes, Tom.
Lift your face.
Yes.
If you weren't here, I couldn't stand. It's been terrible, Dot. My face. I keep thinking, aren't we a handsome couple? Aren't we a handsome couple? Why do I keep thinking that? What's wrong with my face?
Try to sleep, Tom.
I can hardly hear you. But you're here. Your face so close. I feel you. Warm.
Sleep, Tom.
Such a handsome couple, such a handsome couple, such a...
No, Dot, don't come too close to my face, not too close, Dot.
It's all right.
Is it? Is it?
Yes.
The handsomest couple?
Yes.
Your lips.
Yes, Tom.
Hi, Scotty. Come on in.
Good morning, Larry.
Larry, darling, Scotty. Always Larry, darling.
You need an ice pack.
I need to talk to you. Please, will you?
That's why I came here.
I knew it was my lucky day the minute I opened my eyes. But even that custard will taste good today.
Yes, Larry, something has happened today.
Happened? What?
Germany's out of the war.
Absolutely?
Absolutely.
Well, what do you know?
It's very wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, are the fellas tearing the place apart?
Just about.
Oh, boy. I can just see them back home. What a time they must be having. Running around. Tonight they'll be dancing.
Larry, don't.
Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm okay. Fact of the matter is I'm better than that. I've got it all laid out like a blueprint. A right arm. That's all I've got and that's all I need. Sure, a right arm to hold a girl, to write a check. No, Scotty, no. Don't look like that. I tell you, I'm fine. And what you just told me, well, that makes it even better. I'm going to be a check-writing boy, didn't I tell you?
No, you didn't tell me.
I'll tell you now. With the money that's coming to me when I get out of here, all those GI checks I never got a chance to spend, I'm going in business for myself.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm wonderful. Have a card. Larry Edmonds, General Sherman's, and Jeeps repaired while you wait. Amphibious tanks especially.
Auto repaired.
And filling stations. Notice I said stations. The way I got it doped out, the minute they take gasoline off rationing, the whole United States is going to get into the automobile and start going. And they're going to keep going until they run out all the ants in their pants. I mean...
I understand.
No, what I mean is everybody's built up a want to go places. Yeah, like me, every day lying here, I've been walking every street I ever walked and visiting every place I've ever gone to, you know.
Yes, I know.
So I've located just the corner where I'm going to put that first super service station, and I know just the guys that used to be in my outfit to turn the pumps and pull the wrenches. One station, and if it goes okay, as it will, I'll start another one, and then another one, and then... Gosh, the fact of the matter is I'm going to be one of them tycoons.
Of course you will. And I'd like to get in on the ground floor.
No kidding?
No kidding.
I have got a chance, haven't I? To get places to... Sure, I have. I'll sit behind a desk and use the brains I got instead of worrying about the legs I haven't got. And I'll figure out new ways and shortcuts to keep automobiles going the way I used to do with the tanks. And I'll build up a big business and keep spreading out. And I can't miss. I can't. Can I, Miss Stewart?
Captain.
Go away.
But I want to...
I told him no one was to come in here but the doctor. I told him.
Please, Captain.
For God's sake, can't I be left alone? Haven't I earned that at least, haven't I? Haven't I? Why
don't
you leave me alone?
No, please, stop.
What's the matter?
I'm sorry.
Tell me, I want to know.
It's been a strange morning.
Why?
Even I came here. I have news for you.
News?
Germany, it's over.
When?
We got word just a little while ago.
And you've been going around on this floor telling us.
Yes.
I'm sorry for what I said.
No, it's all right.
Are they tearing up telephone books and parading up and down the streets?
I haven't been out.
Oh, it's really here.
Yes.
Doug. This would have been a day for Doug. He'd have buzzed onto the Linden itself. Doug's day. Not mine.
Of course it is.
No, to Doug, it was a game that ended at the goalposts of Berlin. Maybe if I got my throat cut outside Aachen the way he did it, it would have been my day, too. But I lasted a little longer than that. Long enough to see a mountain of shoes, hundreds of thousands. And every pair meant a human being that had been shoved into an incinerator for the crime of daring to live. I lived long enough to see row and row of quiet children where the flamethrowers had left them. I lived long enough to see Doug with his hands tied behind his back and his throat cut. I hate this day. Because now we'll stop killing them. The sentimentalists will begin. They'll stand on righteousness and wave the words of charity, pity, and compassion. And the grass will grow over the murdered, and the cities will be rebuilt, and the torn throats and the whipped backs and the screams and the bloody marks on the walls will be forgotten. Yes, forgotten because only a few of us saw those things with our own eyes. Forgotten because our people never had hatred poured into their veins with the death of their wives and their children. I hate this day. But now the forgetting begins.
Miss Stewart, I've been looking for you.
Yes, Doctor.
You've seen them?
Yes.
I should have gone myself.
No, I wanted to go. We
When the news came, it was hard to believe. What we'd waited for. But it was true. And suddenly, everything became wonderful in a way it hadn't been for a very long time. We had beaten the Huns. We had finally beaten the Huns. The rest was up to the peace commissions, the governmental experts, and the statesmen. Freddie and Sam Jones. Tom, Larry Edmonds, the captain. I wanted to bring them the news because they had paid with their bodies for this day in terrible ways. And so their happiness belonged to them. I thought that. But, Doctor, they don't need today. We need it. This day is for us. Those of us in America who lived through a war and knew no pain. I was crying before, yes. For that soldier lying up there in the dark, telling me he hated today. Hated it because now he'd listen again to the self-seekers and the sentimentalists and we'd begin to forget. Doctor, that can't be true. You've got to start remembering. Remembering first the enemy to the east. The enemy that dreams that in this day of happiness, we here will forget them and their tortures and murders. Yes, you've got to remember them. The face of the enemy that tortured and murdered. The one in the east yet to be beaten. The one in the West that twice in our lifetime tried to destroy our civilization. We've got to remember them, every face, every name, so that there'll be no place on earth left for them to hide, to cry out for a mercy that would make the dead rise up in protest. And we've got to remember our responsibility. In a world that's grown as small as the house we live in. And the people in that house. We've got to remember we can only live together with them in fairness and mutual decency. I think we've got enough remembering to do for the rest of our lives and the lives of our children. Yes, this day is for us.
Just heard Arch Oboler's play, Strange Morning. The original musical score was composed by Gordon Jenkins and conducted by Sylvan Levin.
Arch Oboler's plays on Tuned to Yesterday from April 5th, 1945 on Mutual, the first program of a 26-part series. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now the story, Citizen Tommy Connecticut, adapted on the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars. The syndicated episode heard on October 10th, 1949.
Thank you very much. And greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. Welcome to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. Every day, a complete 30-minute drama from Hollywood. Every day, a famous Hollywood star. Today, our star is Benny Rubin, and the title of our play, Citizen Tommy Connecticut. The house lights are dimmed, the curtain is raised, and here's Act One of Citizen Tommy Connecticut, starring Benny Rubin. Like Christmas toys in a shop window are the gleaming white farms of Connecticut, where the very air is the breath of peace itself in the cool green lanes. It was into this land of milk and honey, and it was down one of those same lanes that he walked, half stumbling, a peculiar dazed look covering his blue eyes. And he turned into the gate at the white picket fence and made his way to the porch that smelled of clean white pine and of homemade soap. And then, timidly, half fearing, he rapped at the door.
Come in. I'm in the kitchen stirring jelly. You want a set of mine to come out here? I'll be through in a minute. Oh, I'm awful sorry to have kept you waiting, but I... Oh, I thought it was one of the neighbors. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, ma'am? I hope I ain't intruding.
Why, no, not in the least. But what can I do for you?
Do for me? Well, I don't know. You see, now I know why I come in here. I'm thirsty, and I'd like a drink of water.
Why, of course.
Please.
As a matter of fact, I've got some fresh churned buttermilk if you'd rather. Just made it fresh this morning. It's out in the potato cellar. I'll get it for you.
Thanks. I don't want to be putting you to no trouble. Dear.
Merciful heavens. Oh, what's the matter with you, mister? Mister!
Lay still a spell, son. You're all right. And t'won't do to be stirring over there.
I'll get another cold cloth for his head, Father. Be right back.
Well, what's the matter? What happened to me? I remember standing there asking for a drink of water and everything started to get swimming. Oh, gee.
I guess you just got a mite of a fainting spell, son.
Something.
Right proper one, says Melissa.
Yeah.
Says you didn't miss lolloping your head again the table leg more than a whisper. When did you eat last, son?
Eat?
Yeah.
Gee, I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember when I did eat anything.
Here's another cold cloth, Father. How is he?
Appears he's coming round, Lisa. Also, I'd say he'd perk up a mite more if he got some victuals under his belt. Don't think he's et for nigh on to a month of rainy Sundays.
Oh, you put the cloth on his head, Father, and I'll stir up something. A bowl of that soup we had for lunch ought to stick to him. You keep him comfortable.
Look, I don't want nobody to go to no trouble for me, mister. I guess I'm all right. I better be going.
You'll be staying right where you are, son. Till you get something hot and sound inside of you.
Got you another piece of apple pie? There's plenty.
Gee, no thanks, miss. I couldn't get no more down me.
Right first sight for the Orioles. Seeing a man eat like that, boy. Does a buddy good.
Yeah.
You feel perked up a mite now, don't you?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
What's your name, son?
My name?
Yep.
Well, my name.
Man's got to have a name, boy.
Yeah, sure. Man's got to have a name, but I don't seem to remember what mine is. See, that's a hot one, ain't it? A guy don't remember his own name.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me this then, son. Where are you heading? Where were you heading when you stopped in here?
Heading?
Yeah.
Heading, yeah. Gee, that's funny, mister. Something must be wrong upstairs. I don't know.
You don't know your name, and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah, I can't seem to remember nothing. Something in my head.
Do you know where you are, boy?
Where am I?
Yeah.
No. I don't know where I am. I don't know what's the matter with me. I ain't never had no forgetting spells like this.
Lissa.
Yes, Father?
Better get Doc Summers on the telephone. Tell him there's a buddy over here and needs seeing him.
Yes, Father.
Oh, yes. And, Lissa.
Yes?
Tell him to bring over some of that tonic for old Bess. Ailing the boy, Doc.
It appears to me it's one of them things I've been reading about lately, Isaac. Ain't never seen one before, but ain't no doubt that's what it is.
What is it, Doc?
Thing called amnesia.
Whatcha?
Amnesia. forgetting who he is and where he come from. Never thought I'd see a case myself.
Is it serious?
Well, don't seem to hurt his innards much. Just a case of forgetting what a body's trying to remember. Bears watching.
Poor boy. What do you think I ought to do about him, Doc?
Well, it ain't no mind of mine what you do with him, Isaac. Except it'd be sinful to turn him loose in his condition. Providence only knows what had happened to him.
Maybe I should ought to take him into Hartford, to the hospital.
It ain't no hospital case, Isaac. Don't suppose they'd take him without no money. He ain't sick, except in his memory.
Uh-huh.
You was a-saying something just the other day about needing a hand to help your crop, Isaac. Just might be this boy's who you're looking for.
Hate to work strangers out knowing something about him, Doc.
Well, sound judgment.
He looks all right to me, Father. Honest enough.
Looks a skin deeper, sir.
Well, personal, it wouldn't be my gumption to put no stamp of approval on a man somebody else is working, but if it was me, I'd chance. Be doing a human favor. Don't think the boy's got a bad spot in him.
Well, suppose you're right as usual, Doc. It would be doing the Lord's rule to help thy neighbor. Most like I'd keep him, if he'll stay.
I'm glad, Father. I like him.
You mind your sass now, Lisa. I don't want no lollygagging if he stays. He ain't got no name. What did the body call him, I wonder?
Well, don't matter none what the body's calling name is, Isaac. If there's anything to do.
I've always liked the name of Thomas.
Lisa.
Yes, Tom?
Lisa, I wanted to...
Yes, Tom?
I'm going to be leaving soon.
Leaving? For where?
Remember what we was talking about yesterday, Lisa? About people getting married?
Yes.
Lisa, your father was talking to me this afternoon. He said that he was getting old and he wanted me to take over the farm.
Oh, Tom, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but I gotta be leaving first. Lisa, I gotta find out something about me, who I am, what my name is. Lisa, I ain't got no right to be even talking to you without knowing who's doing the talking. I'm gonna try to find out who Tom is, Lisa, and if I do, and if he's okay, I wanna come back and ask you something.
Do you mean to marry you, Tom?
Yeah, I guess it is.
You don't have to go away, Tom. I don't care who you are. I know you're all right.
A man's got to have a last name, Lisa. I got to go.
All right, if it'll give you peace of mind. But it still doesn't matter. To me, you can never be anyone else but Tom.
Fate is a strange thing, for it was fate that on the following morning created a loose rung on the haymow ladder while Tom was climbing to the loft to throw down feed for the cattle. And as his weight reached the broken rung...
Tom! Tom!
Oh.
Father! Father, come quickly! Tom's had an accident. Oh, Tom, darling, what happened?
My head.
Oh, Tom, sweetheart. Don't move. Just lie still.
Tom, who are you calling Tom? And who are you? What am I doing in this place?
Tom!
Where are you getting this Tom stuff? Let me get up.
Oh!
What the devil am I doing here? What?
Father! Something happened to Tom.
Come in.
Look, miss, will you please stop calling me Tom? My name's Joe Regas. You ought to know me. Joe Regas, the light heavyweight champion of the world.
Curtain falls on Act One of Citizen Tommy Connecticut, starring Benny Rubin. Our popular star and our distinguished cast of La Rosa Radio Players return shortly for Act Two. Enjoying the performance, Wendell?
I sure am, CP. You know, Benny Rubin is one of those versatile performers who can play almost any part. In fact, 101 different parts. The same goes for a package of La Rosa macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles. They're always wonderful for any of 101 different recipes. Taste that luscious La Rosa flavor. Richer, smoother, more delicious. made in the La Rosa manner by master macaroni makers, made the unhurried old world way for that just right, firm yet tender texture. Compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. That's the reason it's America's largest selling brand. Now back to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars and our famous producer, C.P. McGregor.
Here is Act Two of Citizen Tommy Connecticut, starring Benny Rubin. Fate is a grim humorist, a practical joker of many ironic and sometimes brutal whims. And like Puck, she laughs at these fools that mortals be. For here at Isaac Wimple's farm in Connecticut, where all was peace and love and gentleness, fate lifts the curtain on a strange act of drama. He who came to Isaac Wimple's farm as a nobody has now become a somebody. In fact, a lightning metamorphosis has changed Lisa's Tom into a grim-lipped, hard young fighter named Joe Regas, ex-lightweight champion of the world. In the kitchen of the Wimbles home, a drama unfolds itself, with Isaac perplexed, bewildered, his old brows furrowed with worry, and Lisa, white of face, her breath coming short and quick as she waits and watches, tensely, this man who was Tom, who loved her, but in whose blue eyes now gleams no sign of friendly recognition. Instead, there is reflected a look of bitter hatred, and anger contorts his sun-weathered face as he speaks.
Yeah, sure, it's all coming back. Getting as clear as day. Joe Regas been a sucker, been took, see? When did I first come here?
It's been most a year and a half, boy.
Year and a half, huh? I've been here a year and a half not knowing I was here. Well, that dirty rat, that Slip Cardiff, walks away with my title. Okay, I got something to say to Slip Cardiff and a couple of things to do. I'm going to belt that guy for every day of this last year and a half.
You're figuring on to leave here, son?
Yeah, and look, maybe I don't sound like I see right now, but you took me in like you say. You've been taking care of me. I ain't forgetting that. Joe Regas don't forget nothing.
Doesn't he?
No, ma'am, he don't.
Listen, boy. Since you've been here, all of us in the community have come to like you more than a mite. Doc Summers, the Kearneys, all of us. And we wouldn't like to lose you, son, if we can help it.
Yeah, I understand, and I ain't forgetting that neither. But you see, I got something to take care of. A little paying back to do.
What happened, boy? That is, if you remind details.
Plenty. I was a light heavyweight champion of the world, see? I am now. For that matter, that's me, Joe Regas. Built myself up out of no place. Worked like a lousy dog for 5 years, so what happens? I match with this contender, Slip Carter, see? I knew he's a pushover, but I trained hard anyways. I always did. And that night in the garden, I should have known there was something fishy. See, I got a manager. His name is Al Boyner. And while I'm in my dressing room waiting for the main, Al says to me...
Hey, Joe, I want to talk to you.
Yeah?
Of course, this ain't no time to be talking about it, but I was just wondering.
Yeah, what about?
Well, I was just thinking about, what if something should happen? I mean, you got plenty of jack cash to wear in a sock.
What are you talking about, Al?
Well, you ain't got no family, no heirs, so to speak, and if something should happen to you. I mean, like you was hurt, maybe. That one bounce too many off in the beam.
Yeah?
Well, supposing that did happen. I ain't saying it's going, understand? But just supposing. Supposing you get in the hospital and you can't sign no checks or draw no dough out of the bank. So what's going to happen?
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Joe. So I figured you ought to maybe make a little deal with me. You know, sort of a will-like, giving me power of attorney in case something happens to you. And if it did, which I ain't saying it's going to, you're protected, see? I can take care of you.
Sure, that's okay, Al. That's a good idea.
Well, look, I got a paper right here. I had it fixed up this afternoon. Now, all you got to do is sign it, and there you are.
Okay, Al, if you say it's okay.
Sure, sure. Look, now here's a pen. You put your John Henry on it before we go on.
That was the beginning. And a fine time to be talking to a guy about something happening to him while he's waiting with his hands bandaged to go up against a challenger. Okay, so the prelims are over. I go up. The arc lights are hot and stabbing. The usual racket from the mob, you know? The usual announcements about in this corner and weight and stuff. And then the ref calls his boat in the center of the ring.
All right. You boys know the rules. I want you to break clean in the clinches when I tell you to. Watch the low punches. Now go to your corners, and when the bell rings, come out and shake hands. That's all.
And there's the 10-second whistle. Trainers are going out of the ring. And there's the bell. The contender comes out of his corner, and so does the champion. Well, what's the matter here? The champion comes out with his hands down. He's walking toward the referee, who waves him back. As he does, the contender comes in, and the champion goes down. And there's the count. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and out. Only one blow struck, ladies and gentlemen, to change the title. And the peculiar part of it is that the champion, Corrigus, made no effort to defend himself. A slip card had caught him with a terrific right to the chin.
Sure, I didn't have my hands up. That screwy referee says for us to go back to our corners and come out and shake hands. I thought it was funny at the time. You know him saying to me about shaking hands? We already shook hands. But me, I do as the referee says. So Cardiff gets me. And that's all I know. Okay, now I got my ideas about what happened. It's a frame. And if they're right, somebody's going to pay and pay plenty.
Well, guess I can see what you mean, boy. And if you're right, I expect most of us hereabouts are with you. Aren't we, Lisa?
Why, I don't know yet.
So Tom, who is now Joe Regis, checked his suspicions and found them to be correct. And the little community around the farm began to seethe with a just resentment. To them, Joe Regis was Tom, and Tom was one of them. So, quietly, throughout the weaving lanes of the countryside, Tom, or Joe Regis, could be seen in the cool early hours of the morning, trotting along in perfect rhythm of training. And then, that night, once more at the garden, Slip Cardiff, the champion, challenged by a boy from Connecticut named Tom. In his dressing room, Tom's only visitors were Slugsy Dolan, his trainer, Isaac Wimple, and Lisa. Upstairs in the ring, the prelims were still going on.
Well, boy, we're counting on you.
Thanks, Mr. Wimble. And Lisa, will you be counting too?
Tom, or I guess it's Joe, it won't make any difference up our way whether you win or lose. And I guess it's a pretty bad thing to say, but I wish you'd never found out about you being Joe Regis. You've changed too much.
No, I haven't, Lisa. Because you see, these last few weeks, a few things have been coming back to me that I didn't know nothing about. But I do now. Oh, and that tops. Lisa, if I win tonight, I'll be squaring a deal, see? But win or lose, I'm coming back to the Wimble Farm in Connecticut.
And so, at Madison Square Garden, under the brilliant glare of lights that cut through the purplish haze of smoke to the squared circle, the static spring of tension was wound tight for the fight to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, the light heavyweight champion of the world, 175 pounds, Slip Cardiff. In this corner, the contender at 173 pounds. The boy from Connecticut with a New York accent, Connie Todd.
And there's the bell beginning the light heavyweight championship fight, ladies and gentlemen. Champion is coming out of his corner warily, and Connie Tom takes his first measure, leading with his left and short jabs. There they are, center of the ring. Connie Tom lands a hard right to the champion's jaw, and a left to his heart, another hard right to his head, a
left to his midriff, and the teeming, noisome silence of the arena is cut by the staccato sound of leather on flesh. The brilliant arc stabbing down to watch this drama of strength against strength. And steadily, Tom's left hand jabs forward with the speed of a striking serpent, and each time it leaves a red, bruised spot on the champion's face. And then a sudden rain of blows, terrific smashes to the face and body, twisting, chopping blows that cut the flesh to ribbons, and a sudden dull crack of body and leather, and the champion goes down.
How about a few words for the radio audience?
Wait a minute, look, you guys, will you clear out of here? I got something on my mind. Now go on, scram, will you? All of you, thanks.
pizza. Why did you and your dad leave New York instead of waiting to see me after the fight? I won, you know.
Yes, we know. That's why we left.
What do you mean?
A champion doesn't belong in a farm in Connecticut, Joe. He belongs in the ring, in front of reporters and microphones. You're not Tom anymore, you're Joe. Joe Regis, the light heavyweight champion of the world.
That reminds me, Lisa. I got this yesterday in New York at the courthouse. It's for you. If you take it.
What is it?
Read it.
By these presents know all men that the undersigned haven't appeared before me, and having stated good and sufficient reasons, the undersigned shall henceforth be legally known as the following. Tom Connie Joe.
Not Joe, Lisa, Tom. And I couldn't think of anything else for last name, so I put down Connie. And I counted it short for Connecticut. And that's where I'm from. Yeah, sure. I ain't never heard of no prize fighting ring. I'm just a farmer from up in Connecticut with a New York accent.
And so the curtain falls on Act Two of Citizen Tommy Connecticut, starring Benny Rubin.
The La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 10th of October, 1949. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.